Well, good morning, guys. Good morning, Hope Church. Good morning, Hope at Home. Man, is that worship good? Man, I just want to ask you, if you believe what we were singing, right? What the enemy meant for evil, God will turn for good? Come on, that's going to happen. And I just sense today that people here today are needing an answer from the Lord. Right? You've been waiting. You need God to move. And I love that song. It said, He's the same God. He's the same God as the God in the Bible. Right? And we can cry out to Him and He hears our prayers, right? The God of Moses, the God of David, He hears you. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And if you haven't been with us, we've been in a summer series called Win the Day. Today is our last day in that series. Can't even believe it. Goes so fast. But let me start with this. One of my favorite stories from my wife's side of the family. You know, she comes from a farming background in her family. I learned that her grandfather, Lauren, was a farmer, and I got to meet him one time before he passed. Great man. Lauren would spend a lot of time seeding the ground, okay? But afterward, he would kneel down out in the middle of his fields and he would thank God and pray for a good harvest. And he prayed for rain. Right? Nothing has grown yet. And that's probably a common practice among farmers. I don't know, but I always love that mental image I get every time I think of Lauren out in the middle of this dry field, this dirt, kneeling down, dirty knees, and he's praying. And you know what he did? He spent a lot of time doing the most essential part of farming, seeding the clouds. Seeding the clouds. And so that is our final habit in our series here today in Win the Day. If we're going to win the day, we have to spend time seeding the clouds. And what it means is this, it means communicating with God. Communicating with the Father in your daily life. And that may not sound like, you know, such a big thing, or a big deal, but it really is. You know, this is a privilege that we get to have because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. He made a way of communication with God that was cut off before because of sin, right? Paul says that this God lives in unapproachable light. And now this God is approachable through Jesus Christ. And so whether you're out in the middle of a field or you're at your bedside at home, we can talk to God. We can speak with the God of the universe. That is an awesome thought. And if you struggle with praying to God, let me just tell you this. The Bible is a fantastic resource for you, because there are multiple examples of prayer all throughout the Bible. Lots of people had a prayer life and they prayed in all kinds of circumstances. You know, we sang about David. We sang about Moses today. You know, Moses met in a tent with God. And he prayed. And David, in all kinds of circumstances, he always turned to God and he prayed. And he wrote music. And he expressed himself to God. All these things. And so how we should approach God, what to say to God, if you don't know what to say, even how much to say, it's all in God's Word. And it will teach you how to communicate with God. And I'm not going to spend so much time talking about those details today, but I just want you to know you can find it in God's Word if you go there. But rather, I want to talk about the mindset that you need in your prayer life when you're speaking to God. Seeding the clouds is not only about lifting prayers up to God, but it's about communicating with God with the right understanding. We need the right understanding when we pray. Right, first, that God is the most essential part of the work that we do, not us. And when we look at those 10 churches in India, it's not us, it's God. We got to be used in a mighty way, but it's God, right? 1 Corinthians 3:7, Paul says this, he says, "Neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow." Paul had to remind the people of this because they were all sparring about like who the best preacher was in the house. Me and Zach can go toe-to-toe, I think. Where is he? Let's go, Zach. No, but they were arguing about who the best preacher was. It doesn't matter because it's God who makes the thing happen. It's God who makes it grow. And I think Zach's a good preacher anyway. Look, we're much better off and in a much healthier place when we understand that God is the one who makes it rain. He's the one who makes it happen. He's in control of so much that we have no control over in our life, in our lives. And that is great, isn't it? That's so great to know that He has the control over stuff until things don't go your way. Then you're like, no, that's not great. And so that leads me to the second understanding we need to have, prayer with the right understanding. We need, we must pray according to His will. According to His will. James tells us that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And so if we want to effectively seed the clouds, then we have to learn to do it with the right understanding of who God is. Amen? Amen. So I want you to join me in John chapter 11. If you have your Bibles, your phone, you can read up on the screen. We're gonna dig through John chapter 11 a little bit. I love this story. And just kind of discovering who God is. The one that we get to pray to. Jesus is baptizing people. And it's out in the rural areas. It's beyond the Jordan River. And it's crazy because more people are coming to know Jesus in the rural areas than in Jerusalem itself. In fact, in Jerusalem at this time, they're picking up stones and ready to kill Jesus. But out in the rural areas, there are people being baptized right out in the country. They want what He has to say. And so He's having quite a successful ministry at this point. And then He receives a message. He receives word from Mary and Martha, that one of His very good friends, his name is Lazarus, was sick. Right? And it's not just a cough. Perfect timing. Not just a cough. He was seriously ill. They were in desperate need for Jesus to come. Like, right now, I need You, you know? They're like, oh God, I need You now! I need You now! Right? We don't have time to wait. So a little bit about their relationship. These were not strangers to Jesus. This was the same Mary who had anointed the Lord with oil and wiped His feet with her hair. Well, that's a pretty close relationship, I would think. And Lazarus was her brother, right? And so these are the moments, you know, he's dying here. These are the moments and the situations that most of us would drop everything for. No matter how much that plane ticket costs, you're buying it and you're getting on the plane. You're going. Right? Family matters. friends matter. And that was this moment, but it didn't feel like they mattered because Jesus hears this request, and rather than leaving immediately, there, that one worked. You know, he decides he's going to stay for 2 more days. It was like, oh, Jesus, hello, did you like hear what I said? Like my brother is dying. I need you now. And he decides to stay 2 more days where he is. And we know what happens during that time, right? Lazarus, he dies. And so Jesus finally shows up in Bethany, where they are, the town of Bethany. But it's too late. It's too late. And how many of us know that, you know, 2 days in a crisis is like an eternity? Feels that way, huh, when you're going through that. And you can't get somewhere fast enough, right? In this case with Mary and Martha, you know, they didn't just wait 2 days. They waited probably 4 to 6 days at least, maybe a little longer, because we don't really know exactly how long Lazarus stayed alive after they sent this message, but we can take an educated guess here that he probably died about the same time that Jesus received the message. And so verse 17 tells us that when Jesus arrived at Bethany, he found that Lazarus had already been in the grave for 4 days. 4 days he was dead. 4 days was a significant time frame here because it meant he was really dead. Okay? He was extra dead. But that's actually what the Jews thought, because in Jewish tradition, they held that like 3 days was the limit. If the guy doesn't come back to life in 3 days, it's over. 4 days, you are completely dead. And there was no way you're coming back, so you might as well just stop seeding the clouds right there. Right? Just put a halt on it, close your mouth, it's over. So the permanence of this situation, right, was heavy. It was heavy upon everyone. And when you find yourself in that spot, prayed for this, it didn't happen. You start asking yourself a lot of questions, huh? You know, did my prayers like mean anything? Does God even hear me at all? You know, is this even worth my time anymore? And things start, you know, bouncing around in your head like that, right? And your thoughts kind of change from, you know, God, where are you, to God, where were you? And you kind of get stuck in the past a little bit right there. Well, when Jesus gets to this place, he first sees Martha. And you can just hear the conflict inside of her. She says, if only you had been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. That sounds like a pretty good statement of faith, huh? I know he wouldn't have died if you had been here. And so Jesus has this conversation, this personal conversation with Martha about this. And he says, oh, hang on a minute. Your brother will rise again. And so they wrestle around a bit with all these questions. You know, could Jesus have come earlier? Could he have prevented this? Could Lazarus have been saved? Will he be in heaven when it's all said and done? Yes, Martha says yes to all of that. Yes, but we're just bouncing around things and we're not really getting to the point. And then Jesus cuts straight to the real issue here and the real question you need to land on in every situation with every prayer that goes up to heaven is this. In verse 25, Jesus then says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. But see, then he looks at Martha and he says, do you believe this? Do you believe this? Why? They could have talked for hours about, hey, why were you delayed? Like, what? Why 2 days? Why'd you wait 2 days? If you would have been here, this would be different right now. Jesus says, do you believe this? This is what you need to believe. That is a scripture to hold on to for all of us. Being able to walk confidently into any situation, being able to prayerfully move forward in your life, seeding the clouds continually without giving up, comes down to that question. Do you believe this? That Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Then Mary comes along, Martha's sister. She comes running to see Jesus, and she falls at his feet, which she did often in Scripture. She asked the same question, but I think she really believed it, because after we get this moment, we come to what you guys know as the shortest Scripture in the Bible, right? What is it? Jesus wept, right here. Jesus wept. John 11:35 and 36, it says, then the Jews said, see how he loved him. I want you to see something right here in this whole situation that's happened. It's tragic. It's hard. It's terrible. But Jesus loved this family. He loved this family. Jesus was close with this family. Jesus wept with this family. These were his friends. But they still got sick. Right? Lazarus still got sick. And these things still happen. And this moment moved Jesus so deeply that right here we see Jesus groaned in the Spirit. I don't think you can really define what happened. I can't really say how that was, but he groaned so deep in his Spirit. And when you look into the translation of what that means, it means that he was deeply troubled and he was upset. He was upset that this happened. He was upset at the whole situation because he hates death. He hates the havoc that evil has brought to the world. He hates what families have to endure. He hates all of that, but he loves this family and he loves your family. Those are hard days to make it through. Some of you have made it through hard days like this story. I know it's true. But Jesus knows our grief. He knows everything that we've been through. We can't question that part of his character. He loves you. Don't question that. The question is this: do you believe in who Jesus is and in what he can do? We have to land there every time. So Jesus, in verse 38, once more, deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. He said, take away the stone. But Lord, said Martha. She said, whoa. Wait, don't do that yet. By this time, there's a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? They took the stone away. Then Jesus, he looked up and he said this. Listen to this. He said, Father, I thank you that you have, what? You've heard me. You have heard me. I knew that you always, what? Hear me. You always hear me. Jesus didn't have to say that. He already knew that. He didn't have to say it, but he said it. Why? But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. So he says this line here in verses 41 and 42 because he wants everyone around to hear this, to hear this prayer, that when we pray, God hears us. And he always has. And so keep seeding the clouds is what I have to say today. Keep seeding the clouds because he hears you and he always hears you. He knows what you're going through. So we have to believe in what he can do. And we have to believe that his timing is better than our timing. And we have to believe that if he is delayed, then you are just ahead of schedule. Okay? If he's delayed, you're ahead of schedule. All right? His timing is perfect. He knows what he's doing. And so, verse 43, when he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice. He said, Lazarus, come out! And the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, death, take off the grave clothes, let him go. You know, death is inevitable, isn't it? Grief is inevitable. But here's something else that is also inevitable, and it's just as important for each one of us today. In John chapter 5, it says this. It says, a time is coming when all who are in the graves will hear his voice and they will come out. You hear that? All in the grave. There's a day when you'll be in the grave. Everybody here. And we will all hear his voice one day. He will call us all out of the grave. The question will be this: what do you believe? What did you believe? Do you believe he could do what he said? And that's where we need to land. Amen. I love this story because Jesus, he allows Lazarus to die. We know he could have raised him from afar. He allows him to die. He allows a crowd to collect. He allows mourning to occur. He allows everyone to get to the place in their mind where they have accepted that, or at least they think that nothing else can be done. And then that's when he reveals his power. Right then, when we are at the complete end of ourselves. And we all know that prayer takes faith. It takes patience. And it doesn't always end the way we want it to. And there are times in life when we have sown everything we can. We've sown all we have to sow. And we've reached it of our own strength. And we find ourselves at that point more reliant upon God. And seeding the clouds, you know what it ultimately does? Yes, it's powerful and it's effective. But here's what it does. It grows our faith. Our faith needs to grow. It's just like planting seeds on the ground and seeing crops come up. Our faith also needs to grow. And it's good. It's so good that God does not always cater to our prayers and our wishes. It's good that God is not on our time frame. It's good to have some spiritual delays sometimes. Right? Because it's good to have to be patient. It's good to have to be persistent. Because through it, your faith in His power grows. And that's how things get done. Amen? So I want to end with this last scripture and then we'll pray. Philippians 4:6. This is the big takeaway for you and for me today. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. In all situations, you can come to the Father. He is the same God, the God of Moses, the God of David. He heard their prayers, and He hears your prayers. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. God, what a privilege. What a privilege it is right this moment to lift our voices and our lips to You. You made this possible. You hear our prayers. And God, when You commanded that stone to roll away for Lazarus, You were telling us death is no longer permanent. Life is now permanent. And we get to live in Your presence. And God, You will call us all out of the grave one day. You'll call us by name because You know us and You love us. You love our families. And You grieved with us through our hardships all the while we walked on this earth. But You will call us by name and You will be looking for faith. And I pray that today, God, that our faith would grow as we continue to pray to You each and every day. Thank You, Father, for blessing this church. Bless us as we go today. Help us to keep our minds on You. We love You. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Hey, I've seen a lot of new faces today. So I want you to go find someone you don't know and say hi on your way out, okay? Love you guys. Next week, the story, getting back into it. Awesome. Have a good day.